That's awesome. Hey, there it goes. Hey, man, I'm so glad that you guys are here. And today, man, today's going to be a good day. We are going to be doing something a little different today. Here in just a couple minutes, I'm going to invite a friend up, and he's going to share. We're going to do an interview style, kind of share his testimony a little bit. As we've been talking about, really, going through the book of Nehemiah, we've been talking about how to rebuild the walls of our lives, rebuild the walls of our city, and stuff like that. So I was talking to him about that. He was just like, man, that's like the story of my life, of just rebuilding the walls of my life that were just broken and destroyed. And here in just a few minutes, I'm going to invite him up. But I want to give you a heads up of what's going to take place today. We're going to have that testimony. And after that, the goal is to hopefully release you guys a few minutes early. And here's the reasoning. We want every single one of you that is in this building to participate in this, okay? And we are going to go up to the main auditorium. And first off, if you haven't been up there, it's incredible. I'll just say that. Carpet starts to get installed tomorrow. And that's amazing. And more of you should have cheered for that than just a few of you. June 9th, we started this process. Our goal was August 19th to have carpet start to be installed. And I'm telling you, man, if you haven't been up there, it looks fantastic. Okay. So after service, all of you are invited to participate in this. And we're going to go up to the main auditorium, and we are going to write on the floors scripture verses, prayers on the floor. Okay? Everyone say floor.
Floor.
That's the only place you could write. Okay? And so you can't write on the walls. You can't write on the baseboard trim. You can't write on anything other than the
floor.
You can't even write on the stage. You can only write on the okay, so we're going to release you early so that way you can leave your kids in kids' church because how many of you guys know permanent markers and kids don't mix? Okay, so we are going to do our best to get you out of here about 10 minutes beforehand so that way you could go upstairs and write prayers and scripture verses on the yeah, so see, you guys got it. And it's going to be amazing. Also, next Sunday will be our last Sunday morning service down here, okay? So we will have a Sunday morning service down here. And the very first thing, you already heard it, but the very first thing that we want to do in the new auditorium is to lift up the name of Jesus in worship and prayer, okay? So we want to encourage you to be a part of that. Let's pack that place out and lift up the name of Jesus. And so, hey, today, man, I get... my prayer for you today is that you would just hear about a life that really honestly the enemy tried to destroy through bad circumstances, through poor decisions, through all that type of stuff, and how God intervened. And how many of you guys know that there's times and seasons where we should take and pause and listen to real stories of real people touched by a real God? Right. So I want to invite my friend up here, Manuel Ramos, and he needs that mic, wherever the mic is. You're going to have that mic, and you go ahead and sit over here, buddy. And this water's for you. If you want some water, just remember you want to keep the mic close to your mouth and don't have it down here. So, yeah, it's already on.
I will keep it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So... yeah, so we were talking. You're going to stand? Should I stand?
I will stand, yes.
You want me to stand?
No, I can stand.
Oh, all right.
I can sit maybe later.
Okay. And so, man, we were just talking about how you come to know Jesus. And the story fascinated me. There's a lot of details to that you're going to share some, but not all details.
I will.
But I just want you to just... take it away, and then if I think of a question during that time, you know, I'll interject and interrupt on purpose so that way we could ask it. But this guy's amazing. If you want to be around someone that will encourage you, or you just be around someone that you're like, dude, I feel like a million bucks, this is your guy right here. And so. So anyways, hey, go ahead, man.
Well, I think Pastor said very, very clear. When we come to the Lord, we are broken. We are in pieces. But anyway, I'm going to tell you a little bit. When I was a little boy, I hate Christians with all my passion. I was raised Catholic, and my mom say, "You never go to the church over there. Those churches, they're not Catholic. They don't belong to us." So I grew up with this hate, you know. So anyway, so we had oranges, mangoes, peaches, and limes. And I remember my brother Ramon and I, we used to pick up the limes and the mangoes. They fell out of the tree, and we went up to our roof, and we throw them and see who can hit the church. I'm not lying to you. And that church, it was just a small, you know, a small building out of wood and cartons and plastic. But in this church, we used to go and sneak and had a little holes, and we saw these people jumping and screaming and speaking in tongues, and we just laughed, man, you know. We laugh about it. That was an old lady. Probably she was about 80 years old, and her name is Doña Barbara. And this lady, she always came to me because I was a terrible boy. She says, "Manuel, one day the Lord will get you." And I said, "He's the Lord will get you." That's what I say. Anyway, I was just a young boy grew up in a good family, Catholic family. And I always knew God, but it had no relation because the relation was totally different. Anyway, so when I was 17 years old, I decided to come to this country. And during that time, I arrived and everything was nice. Mm. So it was so many doors there. So I started going in the wrong directions. He said to be a good man, decide to be a wrong path. And those decisions, they were wrong. But I had to go through that. When I was 23, I moved to Europe. And when I arrived there, everything was even more easy. Life in Europe is party and everything is so easy, way different. I arrived in Zurich in 1986, and there I was working, I was playing soccer, and I was just enjoying life without God. I went totally away from God. And I always was good in moving myself everywhere. With the time, I took a very wrong decision. I started moving me around with drugs. And that, it was the worst decision. And we know that God is real. But we also know that the devil is also real. Yeah. And he is wants to target you, and everybody. We are his target. And especially younger kids. Younger boys wants to target lying to them in a way, then we just blind. And those lies they keep inside, and we build imagination life without the Lord. To make not the story too long, I became a heroin addict. After having everything, I started smoking cocaine, slamming it, and then I couldn't stop because cocaine is too strong through the veins. Somebody told me, "You need to put heroin so that it's going to calm you down." So I did it. And I did not like it. I love it. It was like paradise. The wrong paradise. The wrong place to be. With the time, I get a sickness. It's called colitis. Right now, I am 190 pounds. What I'm going to tell you, probably is going to scare you. I was 90 pounds heavy. So I ran. I did something in the city of Zurich, and I was running away. And I ran to the city of Bern. When I was in the city of Bern, they came and looked for me in the house, and I jumped through the window, and I went right to the river. And I was hiding under the river. You ever see the homeless sleeping in the river? See him? All dirty and greasy? I became one of those. I was hiding under the bridge 6 months. I didn't took shower for 6 months. My beard grew up like this. I was greasy. I was skinny. I had spots all over my body, all over. And I stink. Very stink. Very bad. Really bad. And I walk like this. And I could not, inside me, I could not believe it where I was, you know. I thought of my mom, my brothers, my sister, like something far away that I'm never going to see him again. My friends, when I was by myself, hiding, shaking, all dirty and nasty, just waiting for my fix. I didn't use my veins. In the end, I used my arterias right here. I lay down, and I slammed right there because my arterias, they were big, so I don't have to miss in my veins. But every night, when it came the time to sleep, I could not sleep. I just lay down because every time that I fell asleep, I wake up and I saw myself going in tunnels every time. Sometimes when you hit yourself, you see like you went in a tunnel in a light. Well, I saw this all the time. And I didn't want to sleep because I knew I was going to die. I knew myself. Okay? I was going to die. The other junkies who they came in the night to share a little bit with me, sometimes they were thinking I was sleeping, and they always ask, hey, the Mexican guy is still alive? And he says, yeah, he's still alive. And I always hear that. And I never, never, never was thinking I was going to get out of there. And then I hear the guy saying also, you know what? We need to call his family, you know? And I always hear and say, no, you're not going to call my family. You let me die here. So anyway, and I start to remember when I was with my mom and my father and my brothers, and I couldn't believe it, what I was. I always had everything that I needed, but in the wrong way, in their own life. So one day in the morning, this is the bridge. I was all the way inside here. And down on the bottom is the river in Bern. I don't know if anybody knows Bern. There is a river who goes around the city of Bern. Beautiful. All the way to the bottom. Right now, probably will take me about 10 to 15 minutes to go all the way from here to the bottom. It took me 3 hours to walk. And I never did it. So I walk the morning all the way to the bottom. And one girl, she says, Manuel, they're going to see you from the bridge. And I just didn't put attention. I just wanted to go down to the river. When I went down to the river, I went on my knees. And I was picking up the water and putting water in my face. And the water was so fast. You know, the rivers, they are so fast because the water from the snows, from the snow melting. And I thought in my mind, I say, wow, I'm just going to jump. And I was suicidal here. I will not survive. But I say, no. I look up between the trees. You ever see, you are under the tree, how the light comes like this? Like little spots of light, like this goes like this. All through the trees, I was watching how the light was. And it was amazing. And then I remember God. And I screamed to the top of my lungs. I said, God, if you really exist, I don't want to die. Take me out of here. I screamed with my whole heart. He came out of my inside. Every time I slam, I puke, or I had diarrhea. So you can imagine how it was. So I went back to the under the bridge. When I was in the bridge, it was probably around 8 o'clock. He comes, this guy, he says, he was fixing it. He says, Mama, here. And I remember, pull my pants. That was the last time that I used. Pull my pants and slamming it right there, knee tight. And I didn't puke. And I didn't feel anything. And I said, what do you give me? This is nothing. And everybody, yes, they were just looking at me. I said, what do you mean it's nothing? I don't feel anything. So I was very strange. He was strange. So they left. Someone, they stayed there. I lay down. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I'm out of here. I don't care if they got me. I don't care if they're going to get me. I don't care. I need to get out of here. So I started walking up, down and up. And he said to go outside the city. I went this way to the city. And I was walking. And all of a sudden, just comes up a police officer car. And he looks, he gets out of the car. And he looks at me. He says, Manuel? And I go. He goes inside and calls, and then he just got me. So he goes in the back of his car, pulls up a white blanket, and covers me. I was nasty. I was very nasty, disgusting, smelling. So he puts me inside, takes me to the nursery in the police station of Bern. And I remember when I first arrived there, they were just looking at me. Like, everybody was just looking at me. They're like, they even put their hand on their face. They probably never saw something like that. When he says, we need to take you to the, somebody needs to check you. So they take me to a place inside there. And he lays him down. I remember this tall guy comes with a beard, and he looks at me. He says, you're dead. I don't know what, something is very wrong with you, but I need to check you, but you should be dead already. Because I was not white. I was jaundiced, like a yellow. Those spots all over my body. You know? Scratching. He lays me down. I lay down. And you know they have ultrasounds to check people there. It's different as here. He puts me jelly and starts checking my belly. And all of a sudden he sees and he goes, cannot believe this. And he says, you don't have a lever. My liver was a dead piece of meat. He looks back again and he says, should be dead. Should be dead. And I say, we need to call your family. And I said, no, I don't want you to call nobody. Once I die, then you call somebody. So he sends me back, taking me Valium for pain and other pills to not to get more sick. But anyway, so the first day, the second day, the third day, same guy comes and says, I'm going to take you back to the doctor. So he takes me back and then lays me down again. And the doctor says, wow, you're still alive. And he goes back. Oh, excuse me. The third day, he comes. They come and knock me at the door. And he says, Manuel, you want to have some visitors? And I say, who are they? He says, well, it's a young people who wants to talk to you about God. And I say, they are Christians? And he says, well, they just want to talk to you. And for some reason, I say, yeah, they didn't come in. And I was sitting in my bed. And the minute they walk inside, they walk from that side. And the minute they walk inside, I start shaking. I didn't know why I was shaking. And they just come in front of me, and they says, look, we come from the Christian church, Pentecostal Christian church, from the city of Bern, and we just like to pray for you. Look at them like this, and I was like, I didn't know what was going on. Why is that I'm shaking? And then I say, yes, pray for me. So he put his hands in my shoulder, and she goes in the back and puts her hands in my shoulder. And then I was shaking more. They start praying and speaking in tongues, and I was just start crying. I never cry, you know. I always swallow my tears. But I was crying. I didn't understand why I was crying. I opened my eyes, and they were crying too. I could hear them. They were crying. And then he says, now I understand. Now I understand why. Now I understand why we miss the train. Now I understand why. And I was like looking at them, and they were happy. They were crying as well. And he says, you're not going to die. You will not going to die. But you have to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And I said, what is this? But yes, you have to go on your knees. Go on your knees and put your hands up like this.
Hey, and before you finish that, like real quick, because they said, now we understand. Why did they say that?
Yes. Yes. When I put my hands up to the sky like this and my knees, he grabs his hands and put his hands over my ones. And she comes back in the back, and I would just did a surrender prayer. When I was saying the surrender prayer, I hear like metal to metal inside the jail. And I just hear so loud. That was the most happy day of my life, because I feel something came out of me. Something so strong was holding me. I was still looking bad, but I feel something, then it was changing inside me. So they were crying, and they hacked me. Nobody hacked me for years, for months. I was stinky, I was bad. They hacked me, they didn't care. He says, you're not going to die. God, yes, heal you. They were so sure, and then I was absolutely confused, but I knew, confused in a way, but happy in another way. I don't know if those feelings, and I don't know if somebody relate to this, when you accept the Lord. Because he comes in a different way to us, and he came like this to me. Once they finish, we finish with the prayer, they let me a Bible, it says, we will come back and visit you. That day, when they left, I told the guy, hey, I want to take shower. Something was inside, and I was not expecting that, but I knew I was not going to die. I knew already had a feeling that I was not going to die. So I took shower. And the next day, they take me to the guy again. And he says, "Wow, you look different." And I say, "Yes, I got Jesus. I'm a believer. And I'm not going to die." And then he says, "See, we all have an empty spot over here. No, they say we have the heart in this side, and this side is empty, and we are always looking for something. What's Jesus?
Yeah.
That spot right there.
Yeah.
We're not a slave anymore."
Yeah. Hey, before you tell what the doctor did next, I was trying to get you to share this one part. The reason why they said, "Hey, now we understand," they were going somewhere else, and they missed their train. Yes. Connecting train, and they ended up in the same city that he was in, and they just happened to say, "Hey, I wonder if there's someone at the men's jail that needs a visit," and they just randomly ended up there, and they asked, "Hey, is there someone that we could talk with about God?" And they said, "Oh yeah, there's a guy that's about ready to die," is what they told him. And
the way it was is just like he says, but. I wanted to tell this after because...
Oh, sorry. I thought you forgot.
No, I didn't. But it's okay. That's an introduction. Anyway, so that doctor, he lays me down and then he puts jelly and I was like all confident again, you know. My confidence was back and I just go like this and he starts looking. "What happened? God, give me a brand new lever." So he takes me back. And I'm already like reading the Bible and reading Bible verses. And the first Bible verse that I remember, I memorized Jeremiah 33:3. And that is true. That is true. God is almighty because he says, "Call up to me." And that's what I did. Even if I was not a believer, that's what I did. I call up to him and I screamed to him so loud. I screamed. The part that Pastor Josh says, they were going to go from the city of Bern to the city of Biel. This is about an hour, 45 minutes from Bern to Biel. And they missed the train. And when they missed the train, they were a young couple, probably between latest 20s. And they missed the train, and they say, "Well, what do we do now?" And then the train station is in Bern, is right in front, and the city, the jail, is right in front. It says, "Wow, what about if we go and pray for somebody?" So they went inside there, and they said, "Listen, we have the jail ministry, and we like to see if there is anybody who needs prayer." And they say, "Yeah, we have a Mexican guy who's about to die." So that was not a coincidence.
Yeah.
That was not a coincidence. Now, after I get out from there, I went to a church in Zurich. I went back to Zurich. And first thing I did, went to look for a church, a Christian church. And I started growing in the Word of God and walking with the Lord and learning. And I was in my first love in the Lord. I was like, I think the first love with the Lord is the most beautiful thing that we have. And I encourage, if there is someone here who's in his first love with the Lord, to not to lose it, to keep it, save it, hold it. Because what I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to throw stones at me. And when I was reading in jail, the passage is what it says in the song, the children of God, they sin and they... And they asked God for forgiveness, and God took him back again. And I said, "No, I will never want to do that, my Lord. You know, I was so sure that I was never going to leave the Lord. I was never going to be rebellious and disobedient. But I fell flat in my face. My brothers in California, they invite me to come back to the United States. And I say, you know what? Sounds so good. I'm going to go back to the United States. But we know that everything has a time and a place. And it was the wrong time to come. I kind of already knew it. It was the wrong time. But I still wanted, like, okay, let's go and try. So I moved back to the United States in 2001. And I was in fire in the Lord. But I was already disobedient to him because I should not have left. Obviously, when I come to my family is party people. They party. There's everything about party. They party about everything. Everything is party. And I was one of them. So when I arrived with my family, the temptation, it starts the temptation. Manuel, come on, we got to go. And they knew that I was with my Bible. I was praying. I tried to talk to them. But you know what it says in the Bible then, when Jesus says, you're not a prophet in your own land? But that's true. So I tried to talk to my mom, to my brothers, and they just were thinking I'm crazy. That was something behind also that the family then. It also was not wanted to listen to me. But little by little, every time they asked me, and I say no. Finally, one time, I bend my hands, and I say, yeah, I go to the party. And you know, once we open the door a little bit, just a little teeny bit, the enemy puts his foot in the door and then sticks his shoulder and then he pushes the door and then he's inside. And that's what happened. Then I went back again to my life. It was not the same as but the crazy life, party, discotheques, hotels, places, what he offers outside. First of all, I was disobedient. Then I was rebellious. And disobedient, once we're disobedient to the Lord, once we know the Lord, and we fell away from the Lord and disobedient, and rebellious, the Lord let us. Doesn't leave us at all. But it says that it's better not to know. And the Bible says that it would be better not to know him. And since that day, there are rebellious against the Lord, disobedience. They say then when the house is clean, the spirits, they come and they bring more. But that's true. They bring way more. And I, during this, there was 4 years. From 2001 that I rebelled, that I disobeyed against the Lord. From that time, those 4 years, they were the most difficult, sorrow, sad, all these kinds of things, bad things that can go to your heart and to your mind. And every time I wanted to go to the Lord, I said, this Sunday, I have to go back and ask God for forgiveness. I cannot live like this. Every time I went, I was by myself in a hotel or somewhere else, I was like, this is not possible. I need to go back. But something always happened. Then when I was going to go, somebody called me. Hey, Manuel, blah, 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 blah. And like this. During those days, this is why I say, once we know the Lord and we are in the first love, we have to keep that first love not fall back again like I did it. So finally, one day, I was up in Bellevue, Washington, and moving from place to place to place to place all over, Bellevue, Kirkland, Seattle, all around the area, Redmond, from motel to motel, hustling. I went back to my place in Bellevue, and I was just looking. I was by myself again. And then it came, the fear of the Lord, it came so strong in me, so strong that I started shaking again. I was like, and I, the only thing, you know, the fear of the Lord comes, it's like worse when you are paranoia, then you need, I don't know if somebody here is related to that, but when you are in the drugs, and you got this kind of like paranoia, and you feel like, but this was not coming from the enemy. This one was coming from God, because he shamed me so hard that I started crying. And I went to my knees and I was praying. I have boogers out of my nose. I don't know how much boogers I had, how much tears they came out of my. The floor was full of boogers and tears. Gross. Yeah, that's the word. I don't know. And I stand up and I could not even walk because my knees, I was in my knees for a long time. So I walked like this. I was like, wow. But I knew the Lord delivered me that moment. I went to my dining table and there is a newspaper. It's called El Mundo, and they give those in those stores, Mexican stores, up in Seattle and that area. And then I was looking through the paper, and I just saw a little teeny head, about this little. And it says, Templo Emmanuel, Pastor Jesse Lopez, Longview, Washington. And then in the bottom it was a telephone, and I said, immediately I grabbed my phone and I dial, and he says, hello. And I says, hello. I said, Pastor, my name is Manuel. You do not know me. I fell from the Lord, but I just asked for forgiveness. And I saw your number. He says, what? What? What are you calling me? I say, I'm calling you from Bellevue. He says, where do you have my number? And I said, from a newspaper. I still have this little piece of paper. So he says, nobody have ever called me. And he says, you know, it's about 3.5 hours. I say, I want to go there with you, Pastor. I don't know where you are, but I don't know where it's Longview, but I want to go there. So he says, listen, Saturday is going to be a pastor who comes from Venezuela. He's going to tell his testimony. What's the name of the place?
Juan. Pastor Juan. If you guys remember Juan from Venezuela. Yes. Yeah.
So, and then he says, he has a testimony. He looks like you have a life like Pastor. So I wonder you come and look. I say, of course up there. I was just waiting for Saturday. And I used to have a Suzuki Samurai and a Mazda and all the things that I have, you know, the things that they give you on the street. And then Saturday, we came the day Saturday, I was like putting everything that I just can put in the Jeep. All my clothes, I let table, TVs, stereos, whatever, everything I left behind. I didn't care about nothing. I knew I was going back. You know, on the freeway, you're supposed to drive 65 miles an hour. I was driving 45. I had so much tears again. Come back to the Lord. Couldn't believe it. People beat me. I didn't care. Didn't care. So when I arrived in Longview, I arrived in, what's the place it's called? In 11 and Douglas.
McLaren Art Center is where the.
So when I arrived there, people from here probably know Pastor Jesse, no? Pastor Jesse Lopez just passed away. Anyway, so when I arrived, you know how his pastor, he was very calm. And I go to him, right straight to him, and I hug him. And then he was like surprised, you know, that I arrived. And then I saw Pastor Juan was already getting ready. You know, Pastor Juan had a purpose to walk. And then I sit down first place, first chairs right there. And then I start listening to him. And then he says very clearly to me, he says, "That was a good choice to come back to the Lord." I don't know from where, probably Pastor Jesse told him that I was coming. But I just knew that the Lord was calling me back. And I feel great. So anyway.
So because of time, we're going to, there's a lot more to his story that you could hear and just pick his brain. But I just think it's cool because here's why. He's still rebuilding. He's still rebuilding his family. He's still rebuilding his lives. But you know what? God has done such an amazing work so far. And can we do something? Kirsten, can you come to the keys? Or actually, you're way over there. Joe, will you just come to the keys? I mean, I don't know. You're just kind of have to, unless you don't mind hopping out. I mean, I don't know. You're kind of like, doesn't matter. And so, but I want us to pray for Manuel because he still has a journey ahead. There's still things that God wants to do in him. There's still things that God's doing in his family right now. There's still things that, you know, that God wants to do through them to touch people's lives that have been maybe an addict. Or maybe you're even here today and you're like, you know what? I'm struggling with addiction. Listen, there's breakthrough. Jesus can set you free. Maybe you're here today and you're like, hey, I'm far from God, and you are here today. I'm here to tell you that that's exciting. And here's why. Because you're here. You've taken the first step. Man, and that's all. You know what? Jesus is going to meet you all the way. And maybe you want Jesus to change your life just as he has been changing his life. After I pray for him, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to touch your life, to begin rebuilding the walls in your life. How many of you guys know sometimes we do tend to be disobedient, like he says? Have you ever read the Old Testament like he said? And like, those guys are idiots. Why would they ever do that? And then you find yourself in the story. You're like, oh, darn it. Don't we serve such a gracious God? He doesn't give up on us. We give up on people way too easy, but God doesn't give up on us. And if you're here, and maybe that sounds like you, and you're in this crazy cycle, I'm here to tell you that God can get you through it. He could get you going in the right direction. And so would you just stand to your feet? Would you stretch out your hands? Because I believe in that God's going to continue to touch, to build, and to use Manuel and his family. And again, they're still building. They're not done. Neither are you, and neither am I. But you know what? God's a good God. And so come on, would you stretch out your hand just as a sign of laying hands on him? Let's pray. God, we pray right now. God, for Manuel, we pray for his family. God, I pray that you would touch him right now, that God, you would bless him. Thank you for intervening in his life. Thank you for saving him. Thank you for putting his feet on solid ground. Thank you, God, for cleansing him and setting him free from addiction, setting him free from drugs, setting him free from all those bad habits. Lord, we thank you that you're still building and you're still building his family. And God, I pray that you would help him be that man of God that you've created him to be. Be that husband that you've created him to be. To be that father that you've created him to be. Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you use this story to encourage others that are struggling. Use this story, God, to encourage others that maybe are going through homelessness, that they can make it through it and they can find strength and hope in Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, for Manuel. Lord, touch him, I pray, in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today, and you know that you have to come back to your first love. You know today that you've got to resurrender your life to him. If that's you today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hand? Would you lift up your hand saying, you know what, Pastor Josh, that's me. I need to come back to my first love. Amen. Hands all over on the right. Anyone else? Over here on the left, in the middle. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Come on, let's pray and ask God to help you. Because you know what? He's a good God. I love it how he uses imperfect people. I mean, if you're hoping and desiring for perfect people to be on this platform, on this stage, good luck. Because there's none of us are perfect. Not one. But I love it how God uses real stories to talk about a real God and how he intervenes and begins to rebuild their lives. So if you raise your hand, I just want to pray for you. And as I pray for you, will you just pray for yourself and say, God, rekindle that first love. If you need to repent of sins, now's the time. Now's the time. So come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Every hand that was raised in this place, God, we pray that you would touch every single person that raised their hands. Lord, I pray that you'd rekindle the fire within them. God, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you, God, for them being here in this moment. And God, I pray that they begin this journey of just rebuilding. Lord, we thank you that you are the master builder. And so, Lord, as we submit to you, as we surrender to you, God, you're going to give us direction. You're going to give us purpose. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you'd continue to touch and build lives in this place. Help us reach more people that need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, can we give it up for Manuel real fast? Secondly, can we give it up for Jesus for changing lives? Come on. He is so good. He is so good. You're amazing, buddy. I love you. Secondly, are you ready to sign? Not the walls, you jokers. Ready to sign the floors. Okay. Man, this is exciting. Why? Because everything we write, every prayer we write down, every scripture verse that we write down, I prayed this morning that God would seal that into the very fabric and foundation of who we are. So can we go upstairs and can we like write on the floor? Let's pray over that place, write down scripture verses and everything like that. Amen. You guys are amazing. You guys are released because you guys are going to write on the floors. All right. Take care. God bless. We'll see you guys next week.